This Saturday, the 17th, the first of around 300,000 hunters will take to the woods in hopes of shooting a prized buck, or at the very least a healthy doe to help stock the freezer with venison for the year to come. So today, on a special edition of the West Side Outside, we'll preview the hunt and talk about concerns surrounding the fatal deer brain disorder known as chronic wasting disease. Then later in the program, we'll talk about Wisconsin's ruffed grouse hunting tradition and concerns that West Nile virus might be hurting the state's grouse population. That's all on tap this hour on the West Side Outside. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning on Ideas Network stations 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. I am Rich Kramer, and joining me as always are two venerable outdoor writers. We call them the Outdoor Guys. They are, in no particular order, Joe Knight. He's the former outdoor editor for the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram. Joe Knight, welcome back.
Good morning.
It's been a while. Also, we've got Dave Carlson. He is the creator and former host of the syndicated television program Northland Adventures. Dave Carlson, welcome back.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. It's been such a long time.
We finally got all the politics behind us.
Not totally behind us. It may come up today, but we were doing weeks and weeks and weeks of candidate forums leading up to the election, which was fantastic. Sure. But we're out of the woods now.
It's a great job you do, too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Now we can get on to other subjects. So today, we've got a host of special guests. Well, I guess three. We have with us Bill Hoxeth. He's a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources wildlife biologist based here in Eau Claire. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And also later this program, we're going to hear a little bit from Dave Clausen. He's a former Natural Resources Board Chair, longtime veterinarian from northwestern Wisconsin, also has been calling on the state to do more with regards to CWD. We will get to him in just a bit. And later in the program, we're going to hear from John Steigerwalt. He's a regional wildlife biologist for Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois, and Iowa for the Ruffed Grouse Society. He'll be on to talk about, you know, the grouse population not being what it is expected to be and the potential for West Nile virus. So stay tuned. We've got a busy, busy show. I also want to mention that I thought we secured Dr. James Crow. He's known in Wisconsin as the Deer Trustee. Some called him the Deer Czar. He's a professor emeritus from Texas who was a co-author of a 2012 report known as the Deer Trustee Report. We had him booked, and I have been unable to reach him. He said he was in the field filming some sort of a program, so maybe he doesn't have reception. But I let him know that he can join us throughout the program, so hopefully we do hear from him. Anyway, in the meantime, if you've got a question or a comment, all of our listeners, give us a call, 1-800-228-5615, talking about deer hunting in general. Also, we're going to focus a little bit on CWD right now. So, Bill Hoxeth, it was reported that there was a wild deer that tested positive for chronic wasting disease this summer near the Eau Claire area. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It was the tail end of winter of this year. We got a call from Brunswick Township in Eau Claire County, which is on the western side of the county, near the Dunn County line, of a sick deer that had died in someone's yard. So per our protocols, we collected that deer, and then we had it tested and sent the deer down to our processing center, and the deer came back testing positive. It was a two-year-old doe, so given the incubation time of the disease, which is around 18 months, safe to assume that deer was infected early in its age. Mm-hmm. So in response to that, a few things happen. Whenever there's a CWD-positive deer, per state law, we establish a 10-mile radius around the point of origin of that deer, and counties that are touched by that 10-mile radius, a baiting and feeding ban is triggered. And in this case, this deer was located in such a way that five additional counties, in addition to Eau Claire County, were touched by that circle.
Yeah, even Buffalo County, way over to the border.
Right, yeah. So it was Chippewa, Eau Claire, Pepin, Dunn, Buffalo, and Trempealeau all had that baiting and feeding ban triggered. So that was one thing that happened in the spring, and maybe some people who heard about that in the spring but forgot about it until now, this is just a good reminder that in those counties there is a baiting and feeding ban active.
That recreational feeding?
Yeah, good question.
Is it recreation? Yes, yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, baiting and feeding, yep, for deer.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, and what about food plots? Is that a different story?
That is a different story. That's not covered under the baiting and feeding ban law.
Okay.
Yeah, so food plots are still allowed.
All right. So there's going to be testing opportunities for hunters in western Wisconsin. So it's not mandatory, though, the testing?
Good question. No, it's voluntary. So we're really looking for hunters to work with us, to partner with us, to help us by bringing their deer in for testing. It's voluntary. It's entirely up to them, but we try to make it as convenient as we can. So we've established lots of different locations throughout West Central Wisconsin for hunters to bring their deer in. So everything from like meat processors to convenience stores to hardware stores, they're working with us. And so we have these locations scattered around the areas and try to distribute them evenly. So we're getting good coverage and making it convenient for hunters. We also have what we call kiosks. These are basically just boxes with a lid on them, with information about how the hunter can deposit their head in there with bags, and the hunter can just drop their deer head with 3 inches of the neck still attached to that head. They can just drop those off anytime, 24/7, at any one of these kiosks that are located around the region.
Is there a bone saw at the kiosk?
There are bone saws at the kiosk. So if the head of the deer is not detached yet, we've provided you with that tool to get that done. Again, just trying to make it convenient, trying to make it easy as possible.
Is there a goal for the number of samples you'd like to get, if possible, from this area?
Yeah. So from this area, we're hoping to get about 310 samples.
Okay.
Of deer tested in that area around where the deer was discovered. really we're really looking for the participation and cooperation of hunters. We're not going to be able to reach that goal without the help of hunters bringing us their deer heads to get tested. And the more deer we test, the better. We get a better picture and a better understanding of what this disease is doing in this area, where it is, what the prevalence is. That's where we're at. And we've kind of set up the pieces now going into gun season that if hunters want to know where they can get their deer tested, they can just go onto our website, dnr.wi.gov. And there's a keyword search. If they just type in CWD sampling, they'll get to our a webpage where they can click on the registration station database and select the county where they're hunting in. And they'll get a whole list of the locations where they can bring their deer.
Very cool. Listeners, if you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615 while you get a chance to speak with Bill Hogseth. He's a wildlife biologist with the Department of Natural Resources based in Eau Claire. Joel Knight?
Yeah, Bill, do you want to tell us where you're going to be and where you're going to have some other wildlife tech so you have that personal?
Right,
you just don't have to go in and lop off the deer's head by yourself. You can have a biologist do it for you.
Well, what we're doing is we're thanks for asking. That's a great question. We have our staff on opening weekend and even on Monday as well after the opening weekend, who are going to be working at meat processors around the area so that as hunters bring their deer in to have it processed, we will be there to answer their questions and help them get their deer tested right there as they're bringing their deer in for processing. And then in addition to that, all the other locations that are currently active, like the meat processors and the other cooperators and the kiosks, hunters can still bring those deer there as well. But there's going to be a few places where there's going to be a biologist on staff available to help hunters out get their deer tested.
So there have been, I mean, this isn't the first time that the DNR has established partners to collect samples and kiosks and all that. Is there a ballpark participation that DNR has seen in these kind of cases? I mean, do you have a number that you could throw out?
A number.
How well do hunters seem to respond when the DNR calls for samples?
Sure. Well, so we're in an interesting stage right now because 3, 4, 5 years ago, we had in-person deer registration.
Right.
So when someone killed the deer, they brought that deer to a tavern or a gas station and had that deer registered face-to-face with a staff person there. That made it really easy for us to get our hands on deer to be tested, because we could staff those stations and deer were coming in, and we could ask hunters if they wanted their deer tested, and we could just take the lymph nodes right out of their neck right there.
Yeah, and pretty quick too. It didn't happen, or it didn't take too long.
Pretty quick, yeah. Now we're at a stage now with electronic registration where someone harvests a deer and they can register it on the web or on the phone. And call it in, and they don't have to bring their deer to an in-person registration station. So in response to that, we've had to make it as convenient as possible. And that's what these kiosks are a response to, is the loss of that in-person registration and providing that 24/7 option for hunters to do it at any time that's convenient for them.
Bill, what kind of turnaround do you have on whether or not a deer is determined? Yeah. CWD positive.
Yeah, it's about 7 to 12 days from the time that the hunter drops that deer off at the sampling location, whether it's a cooperator like a meat processor or a kiosk, and then to when they actually get the results back. And the hunters get a 6-digit number with when they get their deer tested, and they can have that number with them, and they enter that number into our database on the website, and the results are come back that way.
If we shoot a fawn, can that be tested? It won't show up in a fawn, will it?
Well, fawns generally don't show or test positive, even if they have been infected, because the disease hasn't had a long enough time to incubate in the animal. So we rarely test fawns for our own purposes, but if a hunter wants us to test their fawn, we will, but for our surveillance purposes, we rarely do it because they don't typically test positive.
Is there a tip, like, I've heard 2 years or 1 year on is kind of when they start to show signs or when they might be able to be tested?
Yeah, the literature says about an 18-month incubation period between when the animal is infected and when it's actually showing the clinical signs of carrying the disease. In other words, sort of those neurological signs of loss of fear of humans and malnutrition and things like that.
Now, you've been testing down pretty intensively down in the Fairchild area, or yeah, trying to, because yep, that's where we had that notorious deer farm that had all kinds of positives. What kind of response did you get, and did you find anything down there among the wild deer?
Good question. Yeah, that was in 2015 that there was a deer that tested positive at a deer farm in Fairchild. And we have been testing wild deer in that area ever since, and we have not had a wild deer test positive in that area since. And we're going to continue testing in that area, and we are this year as well. It's just that we're now adding additional opportunities for testing in other areas of the region.
Very good. I think we've got our first caller of the morning, and this is a caller from the area that we're talking about, Brunswick. So let me just take that call right now. Karen in Brunswick, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was curious if a hunter sees what looks like a really sick deer, should they shoot it? And if they shoot it, should they tag it? And what happens after that?
Good questions. Bill Hogseth.
It's a very good question. Thanks for asking, Karen. You can call our office. If you see a deer that's showing clinical signs that are associated with chronic wasting disease, we'd like to know about that deer, especially in Brunswick Township, since you are within striking distance of where that deer tested positive this spring. Give us a call, and we work with folks over the phone and gather more information. And then if it seems like it's a deer that is a deer that we want to test, we'll authorize you to harvest that deer.
Whoops, and I think I cut Karen off too quickly. Karen, you're back on the air. I just stole the call from our screener. Are you there, Karen?
Yes, I am.
You had a follow-up?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the answer because I was...
oh, shoot. Go ahead, Bill.
So I missed it.
I'm sorry. I thought you were listening on air.
I was.
Oh, okay.
My call got cut off.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess the short version of it is just give our staff a call here in Eau Claire, and we'll gather some more information from you based about what you're seeing with that deer, how it's behaving, what the symptoms are, and then if that is a deer that we feel like we need to test, we'll authorize you to harvest that deer, and we'll get it tested, and go from there. But that's something we'd like to know about.
Deer are mobile. You think that deer is going to cooperate and
sit
around while I have a conversation with my local biologist?
If we have some sick deer, you know, they're seen in the same place for days, you know, and you might have a deer that's showing that kind of behavior, and that's the kind of behavior we want to hear about.
Great.
Okay.
Karen,
great.
Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Bill, can you clarify and clear the air on how deer carcasses should be disposed of?
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion about that. There was an emergency rule, and then there wasn't. Now there is not. But
right now, so now it's back to the rules. The rules never changed. There was a proposal that came out of the governor's office, and then was walked back. So now our best management practices that we recommend are for folks to bury their deer. Or dispose of it in a landfill that accepts deer carcasses. And then transportation of deer is as it was in previous years.
Any final thoughts? We're going to have to let Bill go and bring on Dave Klassen.
I usually hang the carcass up in the backyard for the chickadees. Is that okay?
It's your prerogative, Joe.
It's your deer, Joe.
Well, I have a test it too, so I don't know if... Chickadees, I don't think can get CWD. Can they?
They can spread it though. I mean, through their droppings, potentially. I mean, there's a lot of theories out there.
I don't think anybody knows that much about.
Okay.
Oh, one other follow up on Karen's question. So if I do have this lengthy conversation with my local biologist about this deer that's passing by my stand, and you say it's sick, shoot it. Do I burn my tag then, or will I get a replacement tag from the DNR?
Another great question. We, if we authorize you to take that sick deer, we can issue you a replacement tag.
Okay. Very good. Well, with that, we're going to take our first break. We're talking about the upcoming gun deer hunt, which starts Saturday the 17th, and about concerns surrounding chronic wasting disease and a positive that was found in a wild doe not far from Eau Claire. Bill Hogsith, wildlife biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, thank you for joining us. When we return, we'll continue the conversation with Dave Klassen, former Natural Resources Board Chair, and we're still holding out hope that James Kroll will be able to give us a call. He is somewhere in the South, and he's the author of, or one of the co-authors of, the 2012 Deer Trustee Report. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more program to come. This is the West Side. We'll return right after this.
Support for WPR comes from La Lingerie of Madison, the appointment-only fit house, featuring a variety of swimwear with sizes 2 through 24, located at 640 West Washington in Madison or lalingerieshop.com. Support also comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, offering Mayo Clinic care as a choice during open enrollment for health insurance. More information is available at mayoclinichealthsystem.org/bestchoice.
Welcome back to the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Hundreds of thousands of deer hunters have been waiting for a year for their chance to get into the woods and take a shot at filling their tags with a buck, or at least a doe for some venison in the freezer fillers, I guess. Today we're talking about all things deer, and later this hour we'll also talk about ruffed grouse. For now, we pick up on the concerns over chronic wasting disease and the state's management of the deer population with Dave Klassen. He is a veterinarian, longtime veterinarian, and former Natural Resources Board Chair. Dave Klassen, welcome to the West Side.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. It's always a pleasure. First of all, where are you going to be? Are you going to be getting out for gun deer, or do you do bow or crossbow, or do you not hunt?
I crossbow hunt, I rifle hunt, I muzzleloader hunt, and then I'll hunt just as long as I can the rest of the year. I probably do 30 days of deer hunting a year.
Nice. So you're up in the Spooner area, correct? Kind of in between Amory and Spooner?
I live near Amory and have a couple hundred acres there, and that's where I've been hunting so far. And then we've got a cabin up toward Cumberland.
Beautiful.
Where we go up and stay and hunt.
See, I was wondering, because I was thinking about 2012, just remembering, you know, where I was in the world then. I remember going to a registration station in Shell Lake back then where they were taking lymph nodes, or the Department of Natural Resources was. This was in relation to a wild positive that was found in that region. So since then, what's been going on up in your neck of the woods? I haven't seen any new positives, but I'm not sure what testing has been like.
Well, I will tell you a little bit. That positive deer was probably about 12 miles from where we hunt. So as far as we're concerned, we test every adult deer that we shoot. I have not gone to testing fawns. The chances are quite small of that, and especially when disease prevalence is low. But I would like to talk a little bit about that. That single deer was found in 2012, and I think since then, they have tested close to 1,000 deer in Washburn County and have not found any more positives. But to put that in context, in 2002, one deer was found in Richland County. They tested 900 and some deer because that was right close to where the positives were discovered. And so they found one deer. And I can remember being on the Natural Resources Board and people saying, well, it's only one deer, we shouldn't be considered a CWD county and all of that type of thing. And they were quite adamant about that. Well, over the next 3 years, they tested over 4,000 deer before they found the second positive. And at that time, they found two. Then they went another couple years and tested probably 1,600, I believe, deer before they found. And when they found seven that time. And then they found 10, and then they found 13, and right now in that area of Richland County, I believe the prevalence rate in bucks is approaching 40%. So, you know, I know the statisticians will say if you test so many deer that you should be able to find it, but it just, in a county that's that heavily infected now, they tested an additional 4,000 deer before they found their next positive. And we're not anywhere close to that up there. So, and that would probably, other than a instance in New York where they had a positive deer found outside a deer farm, that is the only place in the United States where they've killed that one and it has not shown up again. So I'm not, I think it's a little too soon to judge.
Right.
We're somewhat in that situation with Eau Claire County now. We found this one deer in the opposite end of the county from where they were looking. If it had been infected near that Fairchild Deer Farm, it would have had to hoof it over 30 miles, which is a little unlikely. And none of the other adjacent counties have had any CWD positives. I guess we'll find out this fall if people cooperate, if there's any more out there.
We don't have the person here who made this statement in that period, in that state. Excuse me, the author of the report, Jim Kroll. But he, at that time, said Wisconsin was being too aggressive in the way they were approaching management of CWD.
Yeah.
And he's not here to defend that, whether or not he believes that is the case today. But Dave, tackle that one. Can we be ever too aggressive in handling CWD?
I don't think that we can be too aggressive. You know, the department took a lot of criticism back in 2006, 2007 for the use of sharpshooters and that type of thing. And I think maybe it was a mistake to say we're going to eradicate this disease. But you can look at the graphs, and I did some raw data on my own just with registration data and the number of positives. And actually, up until 2006, the prevalence stayed relatively low. But when we backed off, that's when it increased exponentially. And Illinois has continued to be aggressive with sharpshooting and that type of thing. And while their disease is slowly spreading geographically, their prevalence has remained between 1% and 2%. And so I don't think we can be too aggressive on that. But there are a lot of other actions that can be taken, too.
Give us an idea of which.
Okay, so one of the things that we should be looking at is preventing the movement of all chronic wasting material, dead or alive. That means if you shoot a deer up in Polk County, I see no problem with it taking it down to the southern zone. But shooting a deer down there and bringing it up here, you are, in some areas in Iowa County, you shoot a buck and the prevalence is 50% or better, you can flip a coin whether that deer is positive for CWD. And bringing carcasses out of that area up here and then disposing of them alongside the road or in the woods or someplace like that, I think is asking for trouble.
It's irresponsible.
Yeah.
Say we've got a caller, gentlemen, and I wanted to go to them right now. Christina in Glenwood City, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Thank you. I have two questions.
Okay.
The first is, how long does it take to get test results back?
Okay, well, we just had Bill Hogseth on. He said 7 to 12 days, which I think is down from a while back. It used to take much longer, weeks and weeks, but 7 to 12 days if you drop your sample off.
Oh, okay, thank you. I hadn't heard that. And then the other question is that deer often get donated to the food shelf. I'm wondering, do they get tested prior to being donated?
Boy, I don't know that. Gentlemen, anyone know? Dave Klassen, let's put you on the spot.
Yeah, I think that the problem with if the deer has been, there are, I believe that there are some hesitancy about taking deer that have been tested, because if they show up positive down the road, that venison may already be ground and mixed in with a bunch of the rest of it. I may be in error on this, but...
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. You could probably...
To put that in when a meat processor is processing these donated deer, they just don't have space to stack them up and wait for that week and a half or so to get that tested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because some meat processors down in the southern part of the state have actually stopped taking...
Right.
Deer from those counties,
right.
Or period, they just are getting out of the business. So wish we had a better answer for you there.
It's really interesting, on a side note, is that renderers will take deer carcasses, but they will not take deer carcasses if the deer has been tested. They don't care whether the deer is positive or not, but if there's evidence that it's positive, then they have some liabilities and responsibilities for... contaminated material.
Interesting. Christine, thank you so much for calling in. If you've got more questions, you can call your regional DNR agents. So thanks for that. Dave, it would have been great to have James Kroll on with you, but I was just wondering, I want to talk a little bit about deer farms, because I've been kind of in this world lately, working on a story for Wisconsin Public Radio News, and it's been really interesting that, we've got certain operations across Wisconsin. I mean, in the Eau Claire area down in Fairchild, there was a depopulation, was that 2 years ago, Joe Knight? Two or 3 years ago, 2015, 2016?
Three or four, I think. Yeah,
and
I can't remember that.
There was more than a dozen deer that tested positive. Two got out of the enclosure and were on the landscape, so... There's a lot of concerns with that, but we've got other operations that have not been depopulated, but yet they've got lots of positives coming in. They're just operating as hunting ranches. So, in your approximation and with your experience on this matter, are those putting the wild herd at risk?
Very definitely. I would tell you that when one considers, I do not believe that DATCAP's herd certification program is at all effective, and I think it has a lot of holes in it. So when you consider that in the U.S. there's been a total of 100 CWD positive facilities, 23 of those are in Wisconsin, And in the calendar year of 2018, 5 out of the positive herds that were found in the U.S., 5 out of 10 were found in Wisconsin. In about 2013, there was a change in procedure that it used to be if a positive showed up, the entire herd was depopulated. We now have 6, I believe, facilities in this state that are allowed to continue operating with chronic wasting disease positive deer. In fact, there's one in Marathon County. I believe it's 84 positive deer have been shot out of that facility now. And the danger of escapes, fences falling down, nose-to-nose contact through there, and actually even hunters going in there to shoot a deer and coming out with their boots caked with dirt and mud. Are they vectors that could spread it? I don't know that I would say for sure that's the situation, but it's certainly probable or possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I would have to make a comment, the greatest threats that we face for our uninfected areas in northern Wisconsin, that type of thing, are carcass movement and deer farms that are allowed to continue operating. Dr. McGraw used to say, well, there is no danger because the deer leaving there are dead. What he didn't add was there is no danger to other captive facilities, but there is very definitely a danger to the wild herd.
Once again, Jim Crowell is not around to defend his remarks from a few years ago, but one of the recommendations that he was striving for, or he came up with, was to try and make deer hunting fun. A lot of hunters were saying it no longer was fun.
Because all the rules and regulations or something? A
variety of things, concerns about CWD. And his recommendations did bring about change in the way we deer hunt in Wisconsin, change in the way you register deer, change in the way you deal with disease like CWD or other diseases that come up. What are your thoughts on that, guys?
Dave Klassen.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about that, and I started...
No more back tags, for example. And
well, from a trespass standpoint and that type of thing, I think that's valuable, but I can't tell you how many deer I've had run off when I've been bow hunting when my back tag scrapes against the tree. you know, they talk about making deer hunting fun again. I'm very definitely well into geezerhood, and I started hunting in 1958 when the total deer population in Wisconsin was way less than what we normally kill in a year now. And I thought it was fun then, and I can't ever remember it not being fun. Even the days when you were freezing and you got so cold you'd put a chocolate bar in your mouth and it wouldn't melt.
I think even before Dr. Kroll started his study, I think the legislature had changed the earn a buck rule, which was it was a mechanism for DNR to get hunters to shoot antlerless deer, but a lot of hunters objected to it, and I think Senator Moulton was one of the guys who changed that.
So. I am I'm being told that we've got him, so let's welcome him to the program right now. Now I'd like to welcome to the program Dr. James Kroll. He was the one of the co-authors of the 2012 Deer Trustee Report in Wisconsin. Dr. Kroll, are you there?
Yeah, I just got through dragging a deer out of the woods. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, no problem. We appreciate you joining us.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Knight, Dave Carlson and Dave Klassen.
You're right. I'm joined here in the program by two outdoor writers, Joe Knight and Dave Carlson, and also we've got former Natural Resources Board Chair Dave Klassen on the program, too. So just to know who you're joining us with. So long story short, the question is, it's been about 6 years since that Deer Trustee report came out, and I was just wondering if you've been keeping tabs on how Wisconsin's doing in reaction to the recommendations in the report.
Almost on a daily basis. Yes, I have.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at the implementation of the plan and how that's going and our recommendations.
How would you grade them?
Well, it depends on which one we're talking about. I think right now I would probably give them a B to B minus.
So there's a lot of recommendations in there, and I tried to do my homework today to find out, you know, what some of the specifics are. Dave Carlson, you got
a little
something?
Bit before you joined us a little while ago, a biologist was on, and we asked him about a statement that you had made that Wisconsin was being too aggressive with CWD. The CWD continues to spill across the state, showing up at many places only in small numbers that suddenly, a few years later, have become bigger numbers. What would you say now? Are we going at it too aggressive, or should we be more passive?
Well, I never said they were going at it too aggressively. Our recommendation, and there's been a lot of just misinterpretation of what passive means, and we use the same definition of passive that the original review panel used. Our recommendation was that we look, put a lot of our effort into monitoring what we called spark outs, using a wildfire model, and going aggressively to respond to those when we find them outside of the original area. I'm in possession of all 200 something thousand CWD tests that have been done since the beginning of everything. CWD, yes, you're absolutely right. CWD has been showing up in other places, other counties. But CWD still in Wisconsin is a four-county, maybe five-county disease. The vast majority of the positives remain from those areas. It was troubled me a few years ago when somebody talked about that the CWD was exploding in Wisconsin. And what happened, I went back through all the records, and what happened was that the vast majority, more than 80% of the positives are coming from those counties. And somebody took the number of samples and divided that into the number of positives and came up with, I think at that time, 9-point-something% infection rate. And that was statistically and scientifically, that was pretty bogus. It's a biased calculation is what it was. So I wouldn't call it exploding over Wisconsin. Yes, they're finding it in more counties, but hopefully the DNR is taking our recommendation to be aggressive and involve the local people 25, when 20? They do find it.
What's Joe Knight, you wanted to jump in?
I think we have it in like 25 counties now, and where it was originally detected down in Iowa County, it's gone from being very scarce to being half the bucks and 30% of the doe. So I don't think it's definitely spreading. It's spreading fairly aggressively. And we keep finding new deer farms with it. Just last year, we were talking earlier, we have now our first wild deer with CWD in Eau Claire County, and we're kind of ramping up testing efforts to kind of find out if that's more widespread or if that's more of an isolated case.
Wait a minute.
Data, you don't have it in 25 counties. You have it having appeared in 25 counties. There's two graphs that have represented the cumulative occurrence of it and the annual occurrence of it. 19 to 20 counties would be more accurate.
Your recommendations also back then were for greater involvement on the part of hunters in managing deer.
Yes.
Do you think the CDACs are working? And they've tried to decrease populations in certain counties. None have achieved it.
Yeah. It's working in some counties and others it's not. Let me go back and let's talk about deer management assistance programs and how our intent was for them to work. Is that you use the CDAC to make recommendations for what goes on in that specific county, because deer management is local. The genius of DMAP is that you involve people in the decision-making process, and the role of the DNR is to provide quality data to those people so that they can make sound decisions. Now, you can, in many DMAP programs, the first year or two, people are going to say, we want more deer. In rare cases, they ever say fewer deer. But you say, okay, all right, let's do that. We're gonna do that. Let's collect the data and see what the response of the deer herd is. If you give people good, accurate data about what the response is, you're going to bring people around to a better decision making in managing deer. Now, the problem has been, the reason I gave them a B minus, there are two problems. One is we gave a laundry list of research that needs to be done there to provide metrics for managing deer. Some of it has been done, some of it has not been done. The other problem is the infatuation with the DNR on using some sort of population estimation model similar to SAK. And that's a fool's errand. You're never going to come up with an accurate estimate of the deer population in any area. Even we work a lot with fairly small land holdings, and you never really come up with an accurate one. The deer in the habitat are more than happy to tell you how they're doing if you ask the right questions.
We need health
metrics, and we need habitat health metrics.
Jim, part of this all began when some of the public expressed that they weren't having fun. And do you think that they are having fun? And moreover, there are improved relations, lessening of tensions between the hunting community and the Department of Natural Resources?
Yeah, I think there is. In general, I keep pretty much tabs. There's some guys that are either associated with or they have to deal with CDACs in their area, and there's always going to be people that are unhappy. But the fact that people haven't been up in arms like they were, you know, in 2011 is a statement that we're getting there. You don't get there overnight. I have faith in the DNR. They're good folks, and they're making an honest effort to get there. But back to you brought up a very good question, and that was about the fun of deer hunting. Nationwide now, deer hunting is not as much fun and not enjoyable as it used to be. We've lost the hunting camps. We've lost a lot of the traditions in deer hunting. It's really upsetting to me to see how we've lost that. I lament losing the opening day joy. Remember how we used to look forward to opening day? Well, when is opening day? Most states now have such an array, and we had them in Wisconsin, such an array of seasons, bag limits, and regulations that there really wasn't the old opening day effect, and everybody got all excited.
It's coming up Saturday. We're pretty excited still.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing our part here to get people excited about it. I wanted to. Good. We need to transition here in a little bit, but before we do, I wanted to give Dave Clausen a chance to speak with you.
So I just want to address this fun of opening day, and I made some comments about it. There's probably about six opening days, and I get excited about every one of them. Rifle season, I maybe get butterflies in my stomach on the way out. But I wanted to address your comments about DMAP and CDACs and that type of thing. And I am a DMAP cooperator, and I was also on the CDAC committee. Wisconsin DNR right now has developed some, or in the process of finalizing some metrics as far as regeneration and forests and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I went through that and found that I was getting very little regeneration. Everything was overbrowsed. There wasn't enough understory to raise a decent rough grouse, which is coming up here a little bit. What I found was with the legislature taking away the Ernabuck, the October hunt, and then the CDACs refusing to allow the holiday hunt and that type of thing, the tools that I need to control the population on my properties to the level where I get forest regeneration and stuff have been taken away, and it's getting extremely difficult to, those deer are so nocturnal. When I go out bow hunting, I don't go till a half an hour before quitting time because the deer never show up until about the last 5 minutes. So I just want to tell you that it isn't such a wonderful situation when you can't control the population that DNR is telling you need to control.
Well, I'd be the first to agree that part of DMAP is giving more control on setting bag limits to the landowners. And when I say landowners, I'm not just talking about private landowners. I'm talking about the public hunters and the public lands as well. It should be a partnership. So I'm all for giving more flexibility to people to make a decision about their doe harvest. The Ernabuck thing was not a bad idea. I was part of that. Where all that came from was up at, in Illinois. There's a power plant up there where a good friend of mine imposed a rule there, and it was, you know, it's not public hunting, but it was public hunting. They gave permits, which you had to kill a doe before you could kill a buck. And it worked out real great. But Ernabuck works real well when it's a local initiative. It's like antler restrictions. It has to be local, and it cannot be imposed on the hunters. It has to be a grassroots effort, and that's where antler restrictions work, when it's a grassroots effort. If an agency comes in and imposes antler restrictions, then it's very unpopular.
With that, we have to transition to the next segment. James Kroll, thank you so much for joining us. James Kroll was the 2012, one of the co-authors of the Deer Trustee Report. He's a longtime, he's known as Dr. Deer out of Texas, Professor Emeritus down there. So thank you so much, sir, for joining us. Also, thank you to Dave Klassen. If you want to stick around, we will talk about ruffed grouse in just a bit. So this is the West Side. We will return and close out the program with John Steigerwalt of the Ruffed Grouse Society. Thanks for listening.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Dells, indoor water parks and theme parks, dining and entertainment. More information about holiday happenings is at wisdells.com. Wisconsin Dells, the water park capital of the world. Support also comes from the Menominee Area Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, presenting Black Friday Preview, November 15th, a local holiday event and business expo, sponsored by Vets Plus Incorporated, MenomineeChamber.org.
This spring, the Department of Natural Resources reported that hunters shot around 40,000 fewer grouse the last season than the season before. That swing has caused concern because researchers say the grouse population should be peaking right about now. This also follows news that the wild grouse in other states have tested positive for West Nile virus. So, to tell us about the latest on grouse, we're pleased to be joined by John Steigerwalt. He is a regional wildlife biologist for the Ruffed Grouse Society. John, are you there?
I'm here. It's my pleasure to be joining you guys today.
Sorry we're coming to you late. We had a late addition to the program. James Kroll, Dr. Deer, joined us later than he was expected. So let's just jump right into it. What's going on with the grouse population?
Yeah, so you touched on a little bit of it as far as what's going on with the ruffed grouse population right now in the Lake State. Kind of add a little bit more information to what's going on. In 2017, what happened was we saw lower than expected drumming counts. The study goes out, the samples are taken in the spring during the period of time when ruffed grouse are out drumming. That coupled with the lower than anticipated hunter success tells us that something is going on with the ruffed grouse population. They're a cyclical species. About every 10 years, the population peaks, followed by a trough. So right now, we were expecting the population to be in this upswing, but then unexpectedly, the population started to decline based off of this drumming index and information we were getting from hunter success. This prompted, some discussion with the Natural Resources Board and the eventual emergency rule that happened at the meeting up in Hayward this year to close the rough grouse season a month earlier than it normally is closed.
And is that possibly, I'm sorry, is that the idea to try to ease off the pressure off the population then?
That was part of it, but they're also taking in consideration hunter enjoyment into the process. It was originally put out that they wanted to close a season November 30th, but then after groups like Wisconsin Wildlife Federation came forward and talked about as part of their public comment that would really interrupt the rough grouse season because, well, as we know, deer season is coming up here. And most rough grouse hunters are also deer hunters, and they sort of click off during this gun deer season and archery season, and then hopefully try to pick up some rough grouse after gun deer season. So an effective rule of closing the season on November 30th would have really shut down the season for most people about November 10th or November 15th. Mm. So they took that in consideration and actually amended their original proposal to end the season on December 31st this year.
What about the testing program you're doing right now with grouse?
I think Joe Knight has tested it. Well, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
So with the rough grouse testing right now, there has not yet been a West Nile virus positive grouse found in the state of Wisconsin. There has been one that was found last year in Michigan, but what's happening now is that we're really entering into a multi-state testing effort. Department of Natural Resources in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, working with their partners like the Rough Grouse Society, are going through a sampling protocol to sample for West Nile virus to really figure out how is that playing into the population, how is it affecting the population, what is the prevalence, and what is the mortality rate caused by diseases like West Nile virus. It has been found in other states and has been found to play a role in the population, especially states like Pennsylvania.
John, I need to jump in because we're getting really close to the top of the hour. Joe Knight, you want to talk about how birds can be tested and where, you know, how that
well,
works?
Well, you need a testing kit. I think they may have allocated them already for this year, but I did it. They ask you to send in a heart and a little blood sample. I've actually sent in two. I send in one I shot, and then last week I was out hunting, and my dog caught a grouse, and it looked pretty healthy, and the breast seemed in good shape. I kind of wanted to eat it, but I called down to Madison, and they said, oh, hey, we'd like to see that bird. Bring it down. So they're asking hunters to if they see any grouse acting peculiar that they catch or their dog catches, to send that down.
All right. I wish we had more time, John and Joe and Dave. I appreciate you joining us for the program to tell us a little bit about the grouse population. John Steiger-Welt is a researcher with the Rough Grouse Society, regional wildlife biologist. Thank you very much for joining us. Also, thanks to the outdoor guys, Dr. Deer, Jim Kroll, and, of course, Dave Klassen for making the drive down to join us on the program. That's our time. Next week, we'll talk about immigration after a series of arrests that netted more than 80 people across Wisconsin. Until then, have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.